Well, beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, a great 20th century Dutch Reformed theologian, G.C. Burkhauer, once described the Reformed faith by saying that grace is the essence of our theology and gratitude is the essence of our ethics. Grace is the essence, it's the substance, it's the basic reality of our theology, what we believe about God and what we believe about His grace and His mercy and His salvation in Christ. But it is gratitude that distinguishes and that characterizes our life of thanksgiving, our life in response to what God has done and in the face of His grace. And so we have many things to be thankful for as a people. Grace, of course, is that greatest of reasons. It's the reason why we are and we ought to be even more grateful in our lives. It's why we gather together. It's why we sing. It's why we pray. It's why we fellowship this day. Well, as we think about these passages before us from Nehemiah chapter 12, Psalm 106, and in Philippians chapter 4, we can learn several things about the nature of this gratitude that we are to have towards God. In the first place, we see in these passages that the church has always gathered together to give its thanks to the Lord. We see that in the days of Israel, as they had been brought back out of captivity, and they had given their praise, they had given their song, they had prayed their gratitude. And that was encapsulated in the words of Psalm 106, a psalm that is a psalm of thanksgiving, and primarily for the grace of God that He had brought them back. It's a psalm that's written and composed after the exile, after the journey back to the land. And we see the fulfillment, we see the reality of what the psalmist is singing of when we read from Nehemiah chapter number 12, and the Israelites return from their captivity and they rebuilt the wall of the temple. And they even rebuilt the temple itself in the days of the prophet Haggai. And so the church has looked to the examples of the Israelites, to the examples of the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 4 as one example where the people of God, the church, gathered together to pray, to give thanks, to express their gratitude, the essence of their life, for the grace that God had so richly bestowed upon them. Our forefathers, of course, as I mentioned at the very beginning of our service, have also looked to those examples as reasons to gather, whether it's on a national day of thanksgiving like today, or whether it's for a time of fasting and a time of prayer during a time of great calamity. The Puritans, of course, the Pilgrims in our own nation, our own forefathers in the Netherlands. I was reading this week even several accounts of the Dutch Reformed churches in the 16th century as they gathered together for various reasons, to pray for their king, to pray for their faith to spread, to pray for the protection of the church as it was journeying across oceans, to pray for its protection from the onslaught in the east of the Turks, as they called them, the religion of Islam, to pray against the Pope even, to pray for protection, that they would survive, that they would exist, and that God would have His hand upon them. They gathered to give thanks, they gathered to pray, they gathered to sing. I might simply add as sort of a funny side note that our service will probably last about 45 minutes today, and for that all of us will give a hearty amen. No doubt, during the 16th century, during times of fasting and prayer, when the whole congregation would gather together, the sermon itself would last 3 hours. So I won't go that length today. But imagine a hot summer sunny day in France or in the Netherlands or in London, gathering in a sweltering room with no air conditioning, no fans, no electricity, to hear a 3-hour sermon, to pray for another couple of hours, to sing psalms for another hour or so. So today we can give thanks that Pastor Hyde's voice has gone out and that we only gather for a few moments. Well, we learn in these passages that the church has always gathered together, and so we do that today as well. Well, secondly, the reason why, of course, the church has gathered together. And we see that in the passage of Nehemiah chapter 12 and Psalm 106. And Paul even exhorts us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because of the gracious work of Almighty God. There's no other reason to gather. It's not for fellowship primarily. It's not for the horizontal relationships, not for the family tradition that it might be. But primarily it is, and chiefly because of the grace of our gracious God. And so the Israelites gathered together to give thanks and to pray and to construct great choirs, to lift up the name of God in prayer and in song and with instrumentation, to thank the Lord for what He had done in restoring their fortunes and rebuilding the wall. We see that again in the psalm where the psalmist praises the Lord, thanks the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And he blesses the Lord at the end of the psalm, but all in between, it's nothing but sin. That's why the old Baptist preacher once described the story of the Bible as, we do the sinning and God does the saving. That's what Psalm 106 is all about. The psalmist and the people of God gather together to give Him thanks because they have sinned. They've transgressed. They've done great wickedness. And it chronicles story after story of God putting up with their sins. But ultimately God heard their cries. He had mercy. He pitied them in their state. He remembered His covenant, the passage said. And they could say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And let all the people say, amen, praise the Lord. But we also learn in these passages, not really that they gathered together, that they did so because of God's gracious work amongst them, for them, in them. But we learn in these passages that even that expression of gathering and doing so to give thanks, to express our gratitude, the essence of our Christian life, we learn that even that will never, ever repay God for what He's done. Our gratitude is not equal to the grace of God. Our thanks in this life and even in the life that is to come will never equal, will never reach up enough, will never match the amount, the extent of God's grace. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 106, verse number 2, one of the passages that sticks out, I hope, in that psalm, who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all His praise? This is just a mere sampling of their sins and His grace in response to their sins. We see it as a long psalm. We see it as an extensive psalm. We see it as a psalm that recounts over and over again several examples, more than we would even remember ourselves from the Old Testament. But yet, who can declare all His praise? Paul says, rejoice always. Give thanks in every circumstance with all prayer and supplication. What we do in our life of gratitude, whether it's here today, whether it's in our hearts as we live our lives, moment by moment, what we do is merely a beginning of expression of thanks. Our singing, our praying, our seeking to live after the image of God and for His glory is just a mere beginning. It scratches the surface. And that's why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not merely always in this life, but something more to come. The life of the world that awaits us. A day and a time and a place and an eternity of gratitude and thanks. But even that will never render back to God all that He's done. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all His praise? And so we gather to give thanks. We gather to express our gratitude because of His grace, and we do so just to scratch the surface of His grace, just in a civil way as we do on this National Thanksgiving Day, as we do around our tables today, as we do as we drive to and fro to family and friends. We do so to give Him great praise and great gratitude, but recognizing that there's so much more to be thankful for. There's so much more grace, so much more mercy than we can ever imagine and that we can ever thank Him for. May we be thankful then. May we be grateful. And may we give Him praise. Amen. Let us respond to the Lord with our offering this morning.